last time when we learned. So we learned the sugya about Kriyas HaTorah on Rosh Chodesh, right? And we saw that the Gemara has the Yivaya on the bottom of Chaf Aleph and Beis, going over to Chaf Beis and Aleph. How exactly do we divide the Kriyas HaTorah into Rosh Chodesh and get four aliyahs out of it without trespassing on the halacha of ending an aliyah within three psukim of the end of a parsha, or within three psukim, or beginning an aliyah within three psukim at the beginning of a parsha. And we saw that the question was posed to Rava, how do you divide it? And Rava said, I can't tell you that I have any tradition on that, but I do have a tradition about a similar problem in Ma'amados. That in Ma'amados, when the Anshei Ma'amad used to lay in daily, so the Kriyas HaTorah for Sunday was the first 2 days of Ma'aser Bereishis. So the first parsha of Ma'aser Bereishis has five psukim, the second parsha has three psukim, and yet they were supposed to squeeze three aliyahs out of it. And there is a machlokes Rav and Shmuel of how do you squeeze the two aliyahs out of the first parsha. Clearly, the third aliyah is going to come from the second day of Yehi Rakia. But how do you get the two aliyahs out of the first day? So it's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav says doleg, that the first ola reads three psukim, the first three psukim, and then the second ola repeats pasuk gimel, right? He skips backwards, right? And then reads Gimel Dalet Hei. And Shmuel says Pasek, that the first Ola reads, and we break out Pasek Gimel. And the first Ola reads one part of Pasek Gimel, and the second Ola reads the other part of Pasek Gimel. Then at the end, the Gemara has a discussion about all this, why Rav doesn't say like Shmuel, why Shmuel doesn't say like Rav. Then at the end, the Gemara says, what's the halacha? So Hilchus Adoleg Ve'emtsai Dolgan. That the halacha is, right, if you take a look, you have the Gemara in front of you, so that the first line, when they branch out to the left, the Gemara says, Shalach lei hilchus adoleg ve'emtsoi dolgan. So here we saw that it's a major machlokas in the Rishonim, Gaonim. So what exactly is the Gemara saying? So the Gaonim, followed by the Rif, followed by the Rambam, understand that we're talking about Rosh Chodesh. Because that was what the sugi began with. That was the original question. And the hilchasa is in Rosh Chodesh. What does a mtsoi mean? Obviously, there's no mathematical middle of four, but it means the first of the two mtsoiim. It means that the levi is doleg. And what the Gemara is saying is our practice of the way we divide the aliyahs on Rosh Chodesh. That's what the Gemara says. Fine. But then what we saw, if you take a look at Rashi, Hilchas Anai, the Rashi is in the corresponding Rashi lines, is around 7-8 lines higher up from where it is in the Gemara. Rashi says, B'shel Ma'amados, right? And that Rashi understands that the Gemara never paskened the case of Rosh Chodesh. But the Gemara is paskening Shel Ma'amados. And we saw that the Vilna Gaon endorsed Rashi's Pshat, because he says that opens the door to saying that our Gemara really agrees with what it says in Masach HaSofim, that the way to Lein and Rosh Chodesh is that the first two Olim cover the parasha of Tzav as Bnei Yisrael. The first Olim will read three Psukim, the second Olim will read five Psukim. Everything's being done kosher l'mahajin. The third Olim then backtracks three Psukim and reads of Yom HaShabbos. And then the fourth Ola reads of Rosh Chodesh. And in doing it this way, so then we don't violate any of the dinim. We never begin an aliyah with less than three psukim into a parasha. We never end an aliyah with less than three psukim in the parasha. Everything is kashal l'mahajid. Because says the Gaon, the way our minig doesn't make any sense, because we end up, we didn't solve the original problem that the Gemara posed. Fine, so we discussed this a little bit last time. We also discussed that Ramban has yet a third opinion of how the aliyah should be divided in Rosh Chodesh. Then what we left off with, we mentioned, and this is a question which the Vilna Gaon confronts, is that one of the problem with Rashi's Pshat is that the Gemara is asking for a psak halacha by Ma'amados, and again, according to the Vilna Gaon, this doesn't have any implications for Rosh Chodesh. But we end up doing on Rosh Chodesh is a totally different type of dilog, and one that presumably even Shmuel would agree with. The Gemara is asking for a psak halacha by Ma'amados, which has no bearing on Rosh Chodesh. So in other words, the Gemara is paskening a shayla l'imos ha-mashiach. L'imos ha-mashiach. So the question is that a tenable reading of the Gemara, that the Gemara is asking for a psak halacha l'imos ha-mashiach? So take a look, if you have the sheets. So let's the top half of the page is Mem Daladom and Beis in Zvachim. So if you take a look, it's basically the first line that you have here. Tanya Rabbi Lezer Omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi Haglili. You see Rabbi Yossi there? It's from Mem Daladom and Beis in Zvachim. Tanya Rabbi Lezer Omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Pigel b'dova hanasa b'chutz, pigel. B'dova hanasa b'fnim, lo pigel. So the background is as follows. Rashi fills in a little of the background. We're talking about, if you take a look at the Rashi, after the lines have branched out for the second time, it's around five lines down. Tanya Amar Balaza, aparim hanisrafim de'ifligu babim asnisin koi. Right, there are two types of chataos. There are chataos, which are ne'acholos, which some of the meat is consumed by the kohanim. And then there are chataos, which are nisrafos, when none of the meat is consumed at all. In Ezel Mekomen, which we skip right before the Hodu or Mizmor Shir every morning, so when we talk about the Parim HaNisrafim, that Parvissar Shal Yom HaKippurim is are examples of Parim HaNisrafim, the Parhelim Dovashal Tzibor, so that there are several, the Seirei Avodah Zarah, that there are many examples of Chataos which are Nisrafos, meaning that contrary to what is otherwise a norm for a Chatos, that some of the meat is eaten by the Kohanim, here none of the meat is eaten. Now, in conjunction, in tandem with that, there's also a difference in terms of what you do with the blood of the chatas. If it's a chatas anacheles, so then the blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach achitzon, which is in the azara, which we're going to refer to as bachutz, relatively speaking, right? It's outside. If it's a chatas anisrafes, so then its blood goes on the parochas, it goes on the mizbeach apnimi, so it's inside. Okay, that's one background here. Another piece of background here is that Machsheves Pigul means if a person has at one of four moments, either the time of when, either the Kohen when he's doing the Shechita, or when he's doing the Kabbalah, when he's catching the blood in the klishores from the Shechita, which is later going to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach, or during the Holocha, when he walks with the blood from the spot where the Shechita happened to where he has to do the Zrika, or finally the Zrika. Any one of these four avodas of Shechita, Kabbalah, Holocha, Zrika, a person can have a Machsheves Pigul. What does it mean to have a Machsheves Pigul? If he has a machshava about the achilas hakorban, whether it's achilas mizbeach or whether it's achilas adam, to do it chutz lezmano. So, for instance, let's say that when the kohen is shechting, he has in mind, really, you're supposed to be zorek adam and mizbeach the same day as you shecht. He has in mind that I'm going to be zorek adam lamochot. So that's called a machsheves pigul. So that hustles the korban, and if a person eats from it, he's chayev karis, lachmana litzlan. Well, let's say a person has in mind about the haktara. That's also achilas mizbeach, as it were. A person has in mind that he's going to be maktir lamacha, again, which is too late. Or a person has in mind, let's say, if it would be a korban which is nechal, so then a person has in mind that he's going to eat it after the Zman Achila. Let's say we were talking about a Chatas HaNecheles. So it's only supposed to be Necheles Liyom V'Layla. So he would either be Shochet or Mekabel or Molech or Zorek Al Menas Le'achol L'mochot. Right? Which again, which by a Chatas, by an Osham, would be too late. By Shlomim, he'd have in mind to eat it on the third day, rather than just the first 2 days, but on the third day. Okay, fine. So those are the dinim of pigul. Now, comes Rabbi Elazar and says in the name of Yossi Aglili the following. If you're dealing with a chatas hanisrefes, so he says the following. Pigel bedova hanasa bachutz. So the shchita is, let's say, b'shash shchita. He's going to have a machsheves pigel. Right? So he's shechting the chatas hanisrefes, and he's having a machsheves pigel. What's a machsheves pigel again? He's going to do something which relates to achilas mizbeach. He shechts with the intention of doing this thing which relates to achilas mizbeach chutz lizmano. So, pigel bedava hanasa bifnim. So if when he shechts the korban, he thinks that I'm going to be zorek the dam on the mizbeach hapnimi, which is where you zorek the dam of a chatas hanisrefes. He thinks I'm going to do that chutz lizmano. Whoops, sorry. Pigel first bedava hanasa bachutz. Sorry. Pigel bedava hanasa bachutz. Pigel. So let's say when he shechs the korban, he has in mind, well, after I sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach hapnimi and I do everything which I'm supposed to do bifnim, what do you do with the shirayim? The leftover blood you pour onto the mizbeach hachitzon. So when he shechts the korban, he's being mefagel, he's thinking about something which is also nasa bachutz, right? He's shechting not in the heichol, which is considered bifnim, but he's out in the Azara, Bachutz, and he's thinking about something which is also done in the Azara. So, Pigel Bedova Hanasa Bachutz, Pigel. However, Bedova Hanasa Bifnim, what happens if, when he shechts, he doesn't have in mind to do the Shvichas Shirayim Lamocha, but he has in mind to do the very Zrika Lamocha, so then Lo Pigel. Ketzer, how so? Let's give examples. How you all made bachutz, where he's supposed to be. He's out in the Azara, where he's supposed to be, shechting the chatas hanisrefes. V'omar. Now that's a question by Pigel. Does he really have to say it, or is it enough that he thinks it? So if you take this Gemara literally, so that this would seem to indicate, it's a question which the Rishonim discuss, this would seem to indicate that he actually has to articulate the machsheves pigel. But that's a different story. Va'amar hareini shochet lahazos midomo lamochor. He says, when I'm shechting with the intention of sprinkling the blood on the inner mizbeach, not today, as I should, but rather tomorrow. But the sprinkling of the blood of a chatas on a surface is done where? It's done bifnim. It's done on the mizbeach hapnimi. So then, lo pigel. Shem machshava bachutz, because if you're bachutz, but your machshava relates to bedova hanasa bifnim, is lo pigel. Now, what if hayomei bifnim? Let's say now he's in the heichol, and he's doing the zrika sadam, he's doing the hazar sadam, he's sprinkling the blood on the zbeach hapnimi. V'omer, and he says, Hareini maze al menas lahaktir emurim v'lishpoch shirayim lamocha. So he's thinking about things which are done bachutz. He's thinking, well, instead of burning the innards on the mizbeach hachitzon sometime today, as I should, I'm not going to do it until tomorrow. Instead of pouring the leftover blood there on the mizbeach hachitzon today, as I should, I have in mind to do it tomorrow, also lo pigel. It also doesn't become pigel. Why? Shem machshava bifnim bedava hanasa bachutz is lo pigel. It's probably what the Shittim Kubetz says. No, okay. Shem machshava bifnim bedava hanasa bachutz is also lo pigel. Because if you're bifnim and your machshav is relating to something which is bachutz, that doesn't create pigel either. The only way you can create pigel is aval ha'yomei bachutz. He's out in the azara where he's supposed to be, and he's shechting. However, v'omer, and he says hareini shochet lishpoch shirayim lemocha o lahakteri murim lemochor. So where is he? He's bachutz doing an avoda bachutz, and his machshavas pigul of doing something beyond its proper time limit. His machsheves pigul also relates to something which is done bachutz, because he's not thinking about the hazaras hadam, which is bifnim, but he's thinking about either the shvicha shirayim, the pouring of the leftover blood, or the haktaras emurim, or placing the innards on the mizbeach, the hachitzon to be burned. Then pigel shemachsheva bachutz, Bedava hanasa vachutz, because now we finally met the standard of pigul, which is that the machshava is when he's doing an avoda vachutz, and the machshava relates to something which is also done vachutz.
Is it that we're concerned with where he is at the time where he has the machshava, or is it that he's referring to a later action where if that action normally, let's say he's supposed to do that same day.
Can you have Pnim and Pnim, you mean?
Right.
So that's what the Gemara is about. The next lines of the Gemara will clarify that. So, Amar Rabbi Shura ben Levi, Mikra, where did Rabbi Yossi Aglili, how did he know this din? Where did he get it from? So the Pasuk says, Kasha Yuram Mishor Zavach Hashlamim. The Torah was describing, in the parash of Chatos, the Torah describes if a Kohen Gadol, a Kohen HaMashiach, im HaKohen HaMashiach Yechta La'ashma Sa'am, the Torah describes that the Kohen Gadol brings a Chatos, also for something which is Dono Kares, so it will be Shegigaso Chatos. If he would do it wantonly, so then he would be Chayiv Kares Achman Latzlan. So if he does it accidentally, he's Chayiv a Chatos. But unlike a regular hedyot, who when he brings a Kohen Chatos, it's a Chatos HaNecheles, when the Kohen Gadol brings a Chatos, it's a Chatos HaNisrafas. Fine. So then, in this context, the Torah then says, it tells us which of the innards, the kidneys and the like, you remove and are burnt on the Mizbeach for the Haktorah. And it lists the different innards that are supposed to be removed and burnt on the Mizbeach. And then it says, Kasher yura mishor zevach hashlamim. Just as you removed these innards from a korban shlamim, and this is the haktara component of a korban shlamim also. So says the Gemara v'chimalo madnu mishor zevach hashlamim meyata. We don't need that comparison. If the Torah wouldn't have given us a list by the Pchatas HaNisrefes of the Kohen Gadol, and the Torah would have said, you want to know which innards you place on the Mizbeach for Haktorah? Look at the list of Emurim for the Korban Shlamim. But the Torah doesn't do it. The Torah gives us the same list. It duplicates the list, more or less. And then the Torah says, and look, you'll see that the Emurim that you're putting on the Mizbeach from the power of the Kohen HaMashiach is the same list of emurim that you're putting on the mizbeach from the zevach hashlamim. So that's a totally extraneous comparison. Clearly, the hekesh, the equation, is coming to teach us something else. Mashu zevach hashlamim. You can only have pigul by a shlamim if you're doing something bachutz and you're thinking about an avoda bachutz, because by the shlamim everything happens bachutz. Af par kohen Mashiach ad sheyihu machshavosav u'masav al hamizbeach achitzon. So too, even though by the chatas of the Kohen Gadol, so there's action bifnim also, but the pigul can only be bachutz. The pigul has to be modeled on the way pigul happens by shlamim. Now, comes the Gemara and says, and then this is why we're looking at this sugya now, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuah, Amar Rav, Halachik Rabbi Elazar, Sh'amar Misha Mabiyasi. We paskin like this. We paskin that in order to have pigol by the chatas on the surface, it has to be that he's doing an avodah b'chutz and he's thinking about an avodah b'chutz, but not the other combinations which the Bryce earlier described. So Amar Rava Hilchasol Mashiach, what are you paskining for? We don't need a psak for Yemosa Mashiach. So Amalei Abaye Elameyata Kol Shchitas Koshen will listen. Hilchasol Mashiach Hu Eladrosh V'Kavel Schar. Hachanami Drosh V'Kavel Schar. So Abaye says to Rav, I don't understand your question. According to you, so we should eliminate the Zvachan from the Kirikim, because it's Hilchasol Mashiach. Elamai, why don't we do it? Because it's Talmud Torah. It's Drosh V'Kavel Schar. Hachanami Drosh V'Kavel Schar. So Rav says, so that's what Rav is going to we'll discuss a little bit more in a minute, but Rav asks you a question, and Rav says, Hachi ka'aminolach, no, Rav has your taina. You didn't answer my question. This is what I said to you. Hilcha salam ali. I didn't ask why we bother studying it. No, of course we study it. It's Talmud Torah. That I understand. I asked, why do we bother paskening? Why do we bother paskening? Not why do we bother learning it. So no, I'm not looking to eliminate all of Masechus Zvachan. I'm looking to eliminate the Hachra and the Psak Halacha in Masechus Zvachan.
Don't we have a principle that the Beis Hamikdash could be built tomorrow at and we do certain things.
Meheri Yivan HaMikdash, let's say by Yisachodosh, the Gemara has it.
So if so, shouldn't we be prepared and know how to paskin in these areas?
So I guess possibly, I mean, we'll discuss this a little bit more. I guess possibly the answer the Velt says, the way the Velt explains, you know, Rav's time of Hechazul HaMashiach is that when Mashiach comes, we probably won't be relying on our Piskei Halacha at that point anyway. So what was accomplished?
Rav Kook says that Psak Halacha is in the David. Who are we to decide between two Gdolim, the ears of Moaim, deciding who among the two Tanaim was the right one? Elamai, when you have to function, you have to decide, I'm going that way, no longer so I should follow it, but everybody developing Chaim.
So we're going to see the Tosfos here, and we'll. So first of all, even before we see the Tosfos, it's quite clear from Rava's question of Hilchus Alamli, what Dr. Balazan just alluded to, is why not say that I need the Psak Halacha not so much because of its practical implications, I need the Psak Halacha because I have to know, is Rabbi Yossi Aglili right or is he wrong? If Rabbi Yossi Aglili is right, okay, so then I'm gonna chazer it and I'm gonna remember it and then I'm gonna make a Birkas HaTorah before I learn this part of Zvachim Mem Dalet. But if we don't paskin that way, if he's wrong, so then so obviously what Rav is reflecting is the klal of Eilu Veilu Diver Elokim Chayim, that even when we have a Psak Halacha, it's not saying which is right and which is wrong. It's saying that Ein Hachanami, as the Bas Kol said, Torah was given in such a way on its simplest level, it's a more complicated discussion than we're making it out to be at the moment. But let's say Rashi gives the example in Parshas Mishpatim. Rashi gives the example, so we know that there are Dalet Shomer, but the Torah is very vague about the Socha. The Torah is quite clear about three Shomim, about Shomer Chinam, Shomer Socha, and Shoel. Then the Torah says, Im Socha hu bo v'schorel. So Rashi says that it's not clear what the Torah is saying. Is the Torah saying that the Sachir is the same as the Shama Chinam, is it the same as the Shama Sachar? It's vague, it's grey. And Rashi says, L'fichach nechluku bo chachmei Yisrael. And that's all we know. It's a machlokes Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, whether the Sachir is dino k'shama chinam or dino k'shama sachar. So what's the idea? The idea is that Torah was intentionally given. Some areas are black, some areas are white, and some areas are grey. And within the grey area, so you can have two views which are equally true, equally valid, equally correct. Then, eino chanami, but lemaisa, if you rented a boat, and then there was Gneva Vaveda, so you have to know, do you pay or don't you pay? It's all fine and good to say, you're right and you're right, but lemaisa, you pay or you don't pay. So there has to be a psak halacha, there has to be a normative opinion, but the normative opinion doesn't mean that's the right opinion. So that's why Rav is saying, of course what Rabbi Yossi Aglili says is Torah. I don't need a psak halacha endorsing his view, halacha lemaisa, to tell me that it's Torah. So I know that it's Torah, on the one hand. On the other hand, it's not nogei halacha lemaisa. So what need is there for Rav to have for Rav to have Paschim the Shaiba. Now let's take a look at the Tosas and then we'll discuss this some more. So basically, it's this question which we then have on Rashi's Pshat and Awasugi, right? Again, so why are we digressing here? Because Rashi and Awasugi says the Hilcha Samai, when the Gemara asked for the Psak Halacha, the Gemara was not asking for the Psak Halacha Nosh Chodesh, because he says, I don't know what the din is in Nosh Chodesh, Lo Shamati. The Gemara is asking for the Psak Halacha between Rav and Shmuel in terms of what we do in the Ma'amadol. So in other words, the Gemara is asking for Hilchos HaMashicha, which seems to go against Rava, whom the Gemara gives the last word here in Zvachim, who says that we don't ask for Hilchos HaMashicha, right? That's the question which is posed against Rashi. So the Vilna Gaon, who endorses Rashi's Pshat Na'u Gemara, says, well, take a look in the Tosas there in Zvachim, and then you'll know the answer. So let's do that. If you take a look, we're just going to do the bottom part of the Tosas. If you have a chance, you'll look. The whole Tosas is very fascinating. But Tosas has a bunch of cases which seem to be Hilchos HaMashicha. But Tosas figures out how there are some implications for Zman HaZeh. But then Tosas has a Gemara in Menachos and they get stuck. If you see around 10 lines from the bottom of the Tosas lines, Umihu b'self hatchelis, and then it says Menachos, Nun Beis or Min Beis in parentheses. Do you see that in Rav Asai?
Yeah.
Umihu b'self hatchelis kasha. The pasuk of Yochanan ka'Abi Yosi ben Dusto igabi chavite Kohen Gadol. There, the Gemara Menachos presents, right? The Kohen Gadol used to take an isaron of flour, and then he would divide that into two halves, and the Kohen Gadol offered a mincha called Minchas Chavitin, called chavite Kohen Gadol daily. And this isaron, which constituted his Minchas Chavitin, was divided into two halves. Half of it was machatzisa baboker, machatzisa ba'aref. Half of it was offered in the morning, half of it was offered in the afternoon. Fine. So far, everyone's on the same page. Now, Rabbi Yossi ben Dustoi and the Rabbanan then have a machlokas about the levona, which was put on top of the mincha. Was there one kometz, right? Was there one fistful of levona, half of which accompanied the morning half of the Minchas Chavitin, half of which accompanied the afternoon half, or no? Each installment of the Minchas Chavitin had an entire kometz of Lavona. Was there a total of one kometz over morning and afternoon, or was there a total of two? So the Rabbanan say there was one, half of which accompanied the morning, half of which accompanied the afternoon installment. And Rabbi Yossi ben Dustoi says, no, there was a complete kometz of Lavona with each installment. There was a complete kometz of Lavona on top of the morning half of the Minchas Chavitin, and there was another kometz on top of the afternoon half of the Minchas Chavitin. And the Gemara Menachos says, so that's what Tosas is saying, we can't figure out how that has any implications for the Bizman HaZeh. There are no implications for Bizman HaZeh. So that's Hilchos HaMashicha, right? That's Hilchos HaMashicha. If you take a look, so the I didn't have a chance to zero, because if you take a look there in Menachos, there's a little one-line Tosfos, who also, they just answer the kasha and don't answer it. They just say, Tema, that it's Hilchos Olam Shicha. But our Tosfos has two answers. Again, let's just reread the question. Umihu b'sofa tcheles kasha, t'posek Rabbi Yochanan ka'abi Yossi ben Distai, ka'abi Chavite Kohen Gadol. Now, Tosfos has two answers. Answer number one, V'nira de Rav Yosef Dafka, hu de islay hocha uve Sanhedrin, te'em lifso kilchus olam shicha. Answer number one is it's a machlokas amaron. It's a machlokas. Whether or not we object to paskening something which will only be relevant l'imos ha-mashiach, is a machlokas amaron. Enoch anayim, the Gemara Menachos and the Gemara Zvachim, they don't square. It's a machlokas amaraim. Rav Yosef, Rava over here, of the opinion that you don't pask in Hilchos Olam Shicha. The Gemara, it's a machlokas within our Gemara also, right? Because Rav did pask in. Right? Amar Rava, Ravu, Amar Rav. So Rav did pask in Hilchos Olam Shicha. Rava doesn't like it. So basically what Tosfos is saying is, no, that Rav himself doesn't retract his psak halacha, it remains a machlokas amaron. Rav Yosef is in Sanhedrin, whom Tosfos quoted in the first line of this Tosfos. They hold no bitmiyah hilchos olam shicha. There's no such thing as paskening hilchos olam shicha. But other amaron say you do. Now, then Tosfos has another teretz. This is the one that Vilna Gaon likes, I think in the Bir HaGra. This is the one which he says in defense of Rashi in our Sugya. For Harav Ben Chaim Mefarish, the Lo Parach Hilchos Olam Shicha El Hecha De Ika Tarte. A Shahula Meshicha, B Vegam Ose Isser, the Laka Nafkusa VeHilchosa. Maybe the Chafei is probably. Hecha de leka nafkusa vehilchasa ela ayidei iser lo shayach lifsak l'mashicha. So Rabbi Nachayim Cohen says no. The maskanas as sugyas are in sync with each other.
He was a Cohen. Of Chaim a Cohen.
Yeah, elsewhere, Tosfos quotes his kasha to Rabbi Nachayim Ezer Bayis Asher Tivnu Li. If Chayav Arei Kachalal, so where can I live? Right, Rabbi Nachayim Cohen. Right, that's right. Assuming it's the same Rabbi Chaim, I assume it is. So he says, no, the conclusions of the Gemara are coordinated. But our Gemara says, Taka, that's the maskana, that we don't paskin, Hilchos Olam Shicha. Where? We don't paskin Hilchos Olam Shicha. What were we paskin? We were talking about Pigo, right? We weren't talking about what the din amal lechatchila of how you're supposed to be makir v'korban shlomim. How you're supposed to be makir v'korban toda. We were talking about what's the halacha l'maisa where a person was over an iser and was mefagel in a korban. Something which was only relevant l'mosa mashiach, which has to do with an iser, right? What Rabbi Chaim Cohen is saying is which won't happen l'mosa mashiach. So then that you don't paskin. But something which will happen l'mosa mashiach, so that we do anticipate and that we paskin even now. That we do anticipate that, we do paskin that even now. So that's what the Vilna Gaon says, well, that's what he says, no, so that's Pshat and Rashi, Ma'amados. He says, there will be Limos HaMashiach. The only time you raise your eyebrows and say, Hilchos Olam Shicha, is in a case such as the Pigol case, where it will only be relevant Limos HaMashiach, but even then it would only be relevant if someone did an Isser by being Mefagel by Kodshim. So basically, what you're left with at the end of the day is that that some Rishonim, again with a tzarachiyon on the Gemara Menachos, just say no, we never paskin Hilchos Olam Shicha, right? And therefore, they don't like Rashi and our sugya. We never paskin Hilchos Olam Shicha. Others say it's a machlokas amaroyim, well, it's a paskin hilchos olam shicha. And the Harav Ben Chaim HaKohen says that we paskin hilchos olam shicha unless it involves an issa. Unless it involves an issa.
In Rava's way of thinking, how does Reb Chaim answer the question? I know there's a distinction between the two. that one involves something in the future that has Nisa, and one involves something in the future that doesn't have Nisa. But they're both in the future. They're both, so to speak, not relevant now. The fact that one may have an Isser, I think you can use what was mentioned earlier about the fact that the Beis HaMikdash might come down the next moment.
And you're contradicting your earlier question.
Why is one point where you're thinking about what will happen in the usual course if the Beis HaMikdash comes down, and then another point is where something will happen that's not done lahalacha, and you have to paskin like pigul. So what difference is there between the two? Why should it make a difference whether it's something that happens in the course, something that happens in the Yisr? If it's in the future, it's in the future. In the Rava's way of thinking, is that really it's a distinction without a difference, according to his Mahalach.
Why?
Because they both are not Shaykh. Why is something that's done in the normal course, like Mamados, any more relevant now than something that's not done in the normal course?
But you're making an assumption. You're making an assumption that that's what Rabin meant by Hechsel M'Shicha. Ben Chaim is telling us that's not what he meant by Hechsel M'Shicha. What Ben Chaim is telling us that what Rav meant when he said Hilchos HaMashicha is that don't paskin something which will never ever be halacha l'maisa. When he said Hilchos HaMashicha, what he meant is this isn't relevant b'zman hazeh. When do you think it might be relevant? Yemos HaMashiach. In Yemos HaMashiach, you think you're going to need to psak halacha and tigel?
Why not? You psak halacha and yisurei shavus. Why not?
I think the assumption is umola aretz be'as Hashem kamayim layom mechasim, that and the people who are going to be around the Mimasa Mashiach are going to be elach ha'yidin from the Eden, so we're not going to have pigul. It's not going to happen.
What about the beginning of Tosfos, we asked questions nachkaminas where it's relevant. Can you say that this Gemara, the one in the Gil, is a little different, that even though we're not posketing what to do Rosh Chodesh, according to Rashi, we're just passing Mamados. Still, you could use that as, it does have some nafkamin. You could say, since we passed in L.A. Hilchos Adole by Mamados, that we can now feel more comfortable about applying that to Rosh Chodesh. So it's more relevant than the pivotal case.
Yeah, so why doesn't the Gaon talk about that? Because I think it's clear that Rashi doesn't mean that. Because otherwise Rashi should have said v'shal ma'amodos u'v'shal Rosh Chodesh or something. I don't know whether there's any indication that Rashi means that.
Well, it might not be that you have to apply it to Rosh Chodesh, but it's something, it has some relevance as far as understanding what to do in Rosh Chodesh. Whether, you know.
Then it's sort of Eko Chasim and Asefa in Rashi, I would think.
Yeah.
Maybe there could be probably other reasons also, but just in terms of Rashi, I don't think you have that much mas.
And the whole discussion is based on Rava, who is the master of the Shmoa of we don't make a psak al Chazal Meshicha.
Actually, and it's Rav Yosef also, and Rav Yosef then is also the one who also doesn't like Hilchos HaMashiach.
That's
actually a good point.
I think it's
a question
on Rashi, because these other
Gemaras,
Gemara Menachos, and the other Gemaras they're specifically dealing with cases that we know are dealing with Mashiach. And so whether or not there should be a Tzachalach at the end of those Gemaras, that's the Menachos. But here Rashi is saying, you know, you're taking a Gemara that's ambiguous as to whether the Psach that's at the end is dealing with Mamados for Rosh Chodesh, and Rashi is kind of forcing it into Mamados.
No, well, that's what we discussed last time. That's what the Vilna Gaon explains what's so difficult about our minhag. He says the Ramban already was the one who first asked the Kasha, and the Vilna Gaon then endorses the Ramban's Kasha. He doesn't endorse the Ramban's solution, but he endorses the Ramban's Kasha. He says what we do doesn't make any sense, because by being doleg, we're not solving our problem, right? When the Gemara at the outset in the Baal Mechafalah from Midbeis describes what the various options are, the Gemara says, but we can't avoid trespassing on the Gzer Mishnah Malachnas and Mishnah Mayotzen. And then the Ramban asks, and at the end of the day, the way the Gaonim understand the Gemara, so even by being Doleg, we end up trespassing on it. So what did we accomplish? So what the Vilna Gaon says is that obviously Rashi is bothered by that kasha, and that's why Rashi says, no, the simple reading of the Gemara is that the Gemara is not paskening Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara is paskening Ma'amodis. I don't think Rashi would say, what I'm saying is not forced, that's the Pshuto Shel Gemara points to it, because you're not gaining anything by Dilug on of that variety on Rosh Chodesh.
But if you look at it on the other side,
I don't know if that's true. I mean, Rashi would tell you again, just on the most simplistic level, Rashi would tell you that the Gemara said earlier already, the Gemara never had. Hilchos Mai is if you present two positions, right? So then you can ask for what the Psak Halacha is. And Rosh Chodesh, we never presented positions. So that's what Rashi would say. We never said that Rav and Shmuel can be transposed to Rosh Chodesh, or that they should be transposed. We never put down two views in Rosh Chodesh that you could be asking a Hilcha Samai. So Lamaisa in the Rishonim comes out something very fascinating, right? There's no question that L'chora, the Rambam, you have to say, learned Pshat like the first day in Tosis. Right? Again, the first day in Tosfos says that it's a machlokes ha'maroim where they have hilchos ha'mashicha. Because the Rambam paskins everything. He paskins pigel also, right? If you look at this din, right, there's a marim makom, the test here, on memdaladam and bezin zvochim, by pigel v'dava nasa b'chut. So in the Rambam writes, in hilchos psoim u'tashin, he has this din. He has all these dinim of pigel. So clearly, maybe we'll discuss something. The pashtus is that clearly the Rambam learns like the first day in Tosfos that it's a machlokes ha'maroim, and he thinks that we do paskin hilchos ha'mashicha. Why is that? So l'chora, the way to understand that view is not like you were quoting before. The only way to understand that view is that the Rambam apparently is what that view says. According to Tosfos, what these Amoraim say, which is then that the Psak HaRambam, is that being Machriya is also part of Talmud Torah. It's not only a necessity in terms of knowing what to do Halacha L'maisa, but being Machriya, a Psak Halacha, is also part of Talmud Torah. Also a part of Talmud Torah is, again, even when La Suge Shmaitza Liba de Hilchasa, even when it's not necessary to implement, is just a part of Talmud Torah. That's what you have to say in the view which says that you paskin hilchasa v'mashicha even by dvarim ha'asur. That's the simplest pshat.
It's divided easily. Says drush v'kalos far.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Right. And that's called the pshat nabai. Absolutely. Now the.
That could be a machloket between the Rambam and the Rif.
No, because you can't infer anything from the Rif, because everyone agrees that there's drash v'kav v'schar, so you're saying like this, since what the Rif set out to do is ultimately, it's called Hilchos HaRif, ultimately, it was to figure out what the halacha l'maisa is, and he limited himself towards nogei l'maisa. So does that mean, maybe. Okay, but then there's actually another. I'll just take a few minutes. There's actually another fascinating question. So we've been assuming all along, not our fault, the Gemara says, this is Hilchos HaMashicha. Why exactly is this Hilchos HaMashicha? Take a look in your Gemara and Megillah.
Both.
Take a look at the Gemara Megillah back on Daf Yud. You see what it says for Amar Rabbi Yeshua at the beginning of a line? I don't know, maybe midway in the narrow lines of on Daf Yud Amud Aleph. But Amar Rabbi Yeshua at the beginning of a line, Shamati Shemakrivim. You see what I'm saying? On Daf Yud Amud Aleph here in Megillah. But Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Shamati Shemakrivim, Afal Pisha Ein Bayis. What does that mean? It means that even though the structure of the Beis HaMikdash itself is destroyed, but nevertheless, is makriven afal pi she'ein bayis. Why? Because the kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is one which outlives the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. Or what the Gemara calls is kitsh of a shaita v'kitsh ala asad lava. And therefore, Chorban doesn't cause the Kedusha to be forfeited. The Kedusha remains. Okay. Now, if that's the case, and this is how the Rambam passes, it's a Machlokes Tanoim here within this Sugya itself, here in Daf Yud and Megillah. If that's the case, so why are we assuming that the Dinim of Korbanos is Hilchos HaMamshicha? Why isn't it potentially Halacha L'maaseh of the Zman HaZeh as well?
Practically speaking, we do it without the
rule of Tomei Meis. So, L'chaora, what would you see from this Gemara? And I didn't have a chance to look through the tshuvas. And you know, in the 19th century, there was a lot of literature generated over this topic. Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer wanted to be Mechadesh HaKrevus Korbanos B'zman HaZeh. He wanted to reinstitute that we should be Makriv Korbanos. Aye, what about Tuma? So Tuma is that problem the Gemara tells us the solution to already. Because the Gemara says in the first parak in Masachas Yuma that Tuma is the Chuya B'tzivua. If you have a Korban Tzivua, such as a Korban Tomid, such as a Korban Musaf, any Korban Tzivua, so then that overrides Tuma. So even though we're all Tmei Meis and we don't have any Eifer Paraduma to be able to be Metar ourselves, but Tum is the Chuyu B'tzibur. So that problem is surmountable. It wouldn't be surmountable in terms of Kavanas HaYochid. We couldn't, a Yochid couldn't bring a Chatas that he was Chayev. He couldn't be Misnadev in Ola. But in terms of the Kavanas Tzibur, and in this respect, Korban Pesach also has the din of a Korban Tzibur, so then Tumma is overridden. So in terms of that, we're okay. So then the question is, why are we assuming that Ma'amados is Hilchos HaMamshicha? Why are we assuming that the Dinim of Pigal is Hilchos HaMamshicha? Maybe it's Halacha L'maisa. So Elamai L'chora, and I didn't have a chance to check, I apologize, but I'll try for next week. Many of the Gedolim, all the Gedolim didn't like it, but they all shot the idea down. Kiv Egen, Chassam Sofer, and Oruch Laner, all the Gedolim of the time shot it down. And I don't know, maybe some of them referred to this Gemara. So what are the issues then? If it's not the lack of the Kedusha, so why is it Lamaisa that we don't have Hakravas Korbanos B'zman HaZeh? So there are a number of issues. Number one, that the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaVechira that Mekom HaMizbeach Mechuvan B'Yoseh. You have to know precisely where the Mizbeach is. Makriven Afal Pishein Bayis, correct, meaning we don't have to have the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, but you need the Mizbeach Al Mekom. So first of all, and in Bayis Sheni, so they knew the Mokam and Mizbeach al Pinavua. Al Pinavua, they were told precisely where to put the Mizbeach. So many of the Gedolim said, it can't be, so Tzirish Kalashat Tainid, that the Chorban of Bayis Rishon, there was no remnant left from which you could reconstruct the Mokam and Mizbeach. And he claimed that there was enough left from the destruction of Bayis Sheni, That from where the walls are, we could measure with Tvachim and figure out with Masachas Midos the Mokom Mechuvan B'Yosef. And Elik Dolem said that there's no way we can do it. We don't even know whether our Tefach is precisely is mechuvan b'yosa, what Chazal mean by a tefach. So that's one problem in which they talk about. Another question is whether or not the yichus of our kohanim is something we would rely on. Even, I mean, maybe that he gets the aliyah. Okay, so we're not gonna stand on that. But is the yichus, is the genealogy of the kohanim something which is sufficiently vaday b'zman hazeh that one could rely on the yichus? Again, in Sefer Ezra it says that when the kohanim came back in Bayis Sheni, they brought their sifra yichus, which traced their lineage and showed that they were kohanim. So are there any kohanim the zman hazeh whose yichus can be established to the standard which would be necessary for korbanos? What were some of the other issues that they said? There is a machlokas, right? Tchelas by tzitzis, the avnet, which is one of the big day kahuna, has tchelas in it. The tchelas by tzitzis, we know, has to be dam chilazon. So there's a famous Tiferes Yisrael who is machadesh that tchelas by big day kahuna doesn't have to be from chilazon. Tchelas is synonymous with a dye made from the chilazon only for purposes of tzitzis, but that's not what tchelas means in other contexts. So if you assume like the Tiferes Yisrael, so then you wouldn't have to be able to identify the chilazon, and that wouldn't be an obstacle. I guess you would still have to be pretty certain about what the shade of color is supposed to be. But the other Yidom said, no, that's a chiddush of the Tiferes Yisrael. The pashtus is that the same way, I think the Mishnah Lamelech discusses this question, that the same way that the tcheles of tzitzis means that the dye is prepared from the chilazon, the same would be true for the tchelas in Big Day Kahuna. And Bechlal, Ki Vegas says, we don't know exactly what any of the colors are, but we know exactly what agomen is, because in the translations it says purple, it says royal purple, so we know exactly what agomen is sufficiently to have the Big Day Kahuna. So they listed several problems which they felt were insurmountable. So the emes is, from this Gemara, you do see like that. You see that there is some insurmountable problem, which, again, what the problem is, obviously there's no indication in this Gemara. But the fact that this Gemara says that these dinim are hilchasa l'mshicha, and the fact that the Rishonim say, and then the hilchasa l'mshicha, that points to the fact that no, we're not going to have korbanos before Mashiach.
And see, the whole statement of the fish and buy is about the korban pesach. Only korban doesn't have
reach before. Korban pesach is possibly in a class by itself.
And because of that, there's a famous story that the Chassidish Rebbe after.